welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the out and about, the walking around outdoors of free speech, because you're all walking around outdoors and people are talking to you and you're saying what you think. And so it is free speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. Okay, I'm going to mention this for no particular reason. I was thinking about Mr. Ed today. You know, Mr. Ed was a talking horse, and there was a TV show. It started in 1961, lasted until 1966. Even though 1966, most shows were in color by 1966, but not Mr. Ed. It stayed in black and white. It was about a talking horse. But the horse didn't just talk to anybody. He only talked to his owner and caused a lot of trouble. And Clint Eastwood was on one of the episodes, but the episode I remember the best isn't the one with Clint Eastwood. It was the one where, for whatever reason, Mr. Ed started driving a milk truck. And I went to YouTube and I was watching this scene, and one of the things that was remarkable was how old all the cars looked. They didn't even look like 60s cars or 50s cars so much. Some of them just looked ancient. And, you know, the milk truck, and he was signaling right and left turns by just sticking his hoof out one door or the other. And it was pretty funny. And one of the things that I remember best is he's turning a corner, and he sees a sign, and it says one way. He says, "One way? Well, that's okay. I'm only going one way." And I say that every time I go down a one-way street, no matter whether I'm going down the right way or the wrong way. I'm only going one way. Why am I talking about this? For absolutely no good reason. Just because. But, you know, I was looking at it, and I was looking at the various actors who had been in it, and, oh, yeah, I guess, one of the show started, some of the early promoters of the show were, George Burns and Jack Benny, and some people might remember these. They were comedians, both born in the late 1800s. I think Jack Benny maybe 1897, and George Burns 1899. George Burns lived to be 100 years old, and Jack Benny not quite. Jack Benny died, I guess, at age 80. Both Jews, by the way. No big surprise. And then I don't know how I got onto it, but then I was looking at the Gabor sisters, and, you know, there's Zsa Zsa Gabor, who lived to be almost 100, and she was really messed up at the end. She'd had a leg amputated and all sorts of stuff. She was had bad dementia. Ava Gabor did Green Acres. Green Acres was a good show. And Ava Gabor was, I mean, she was doing that show in the late 60s. She was born in 1919. So she was late 40s and hitting 50 when she was doing that show. And she was looking very good. They're Jews, by the way. The Gabor sisters were Jews. Zsa Zsa was married to Conrad Hilton for a while and had a daughter. Daughter died about a year before Zsa Zsa did, and the daughter was 30 years younger. I guess she was 30 when she had the daughter. That's how the math works. And you would think that if you were the daughter of Conrad Hilton, from, you know, the founder of the Hilton Hotels, and Zsa Zsa Gabor, you'd probably be doing all right. And I don't think this was like a crazy woman or anything, But Conrad Hilton, when he died, I guess in the 70s, only left her $100,000. He was some sort of billionaire, and he left her $100,000. I don't know if it's because he was completely estranged from Zsa Zsa Gabor or whatever. And then Zsa Zsa, she had legal problems when she was getting older. And so when the daughter whose name, I guess, what was it? Francesca Gabor Hilton. She wound up living in her car. Can you imagine that? And then she died. All right, that's cheerful. So, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm going to be talking about. Is there any segue? Maybe the segue is these people were famous even in the 1970s. You know who else was famous in the 1970s? Donald Trump. Oh, you know who else was famous in the 1970s? David Duke. Is there a connection? Well, I don't know. But I was talking to a business associate today, and he asked me what I thought of the election. And I said, well, if you had asked me a month ago, I would have said it's pretty clear that Trump is going to win the election. Whether or not he winds up getting inaugurated after that's a different story. But a month or so ago, you know, Trump had a pretty significant lead. He'd never led in the polls before. He was always behind Hillary. He was always behind Biden. But he has been leading in the polls since almost a year ago, since last summer. He's been leading in the polls. But now they've tightened up, and he and Biden are neck and neck. And so I was asked, why? What's going on? And I just kind of blurted out, well, I think it's the Gaza stuff. And then I was asked to explain. And so here's the thing. You've got all these demonstrations going on. They're extremely important, going on all over these campuses, New York, University of Chicago, New York University, Columbia, Yale, bunch of people, like 100 and something. People got arrested in Yale, I think. And now University of Texas at Austin. And, you know, Austin, very woke. Well, who cares if it's woke? These are big deals. These are very big deals. And they're not happy with Biden. So here's the thing. The smart thing, I mean, the smart thing for Trump to do would be to be anti-war. Say Israel's gone too far. You know, we can't have this. That would be good. What would he have to lose if he did that? Okay, what would he have to lose? You know, the Jews don't like him anyway, but he's out there saying, oh, any Jew would be crazy to vote for the Democrats. What a stupid thing. The Jews never voted for him anyway. I mean, he got a certain amount, and the Jews aren't important voters. They're not important voters. They're important donors. And they've always given to the Democratic Party. Is he trying to get their money? Does he really need their money? The money's not the big thing. The money's not the big thing in his case. He beat Hillary spending half as much money as her. So the money is not the big thing for him. So why the hell is he doing this? Frankly, because he's an idiot savant. Okay, he is very legitimately, as the kids say, he's legitimately an idiot savant. You know, in some ways he's completely retarded. In some ways he's brilliant. He's got both of these things going on. So if he came out anti-war, anti-Ukraine war, anti-Syrian war, just say let's do America first, let's do our border. How many boomers would turn against him for that? You know, the boomers, the white boomers, are pro-Israel because they've been brainwashed their entire life, blah, 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 a lot of things. You all know the score. And it's a shame. But how many of them would it turn against Trump if Trump opposed sending, opposed financing and supporting Israel's genocide in Gaza? I don't think he'd lose much. Would he gain, like if he ran as a peace candidate, would he get these kids in Austin and Yale and Columbia to vote for him? Nah, they wouldn't vote for him. But they wouldn't vote for Biden, right? They don't want to vote for Biden. And so they wouldn't vote, or they'd go and vote for Jill Stein, the Green Party. By the way, I had a date with Jill Stein, and I got there late, and she left, so I didn't actually meet her. I don't know. Maybe I'll give her another chance one of these days. But, and you know, she's kind of old. She's kind of an old lady. But a little bit cute. It's a little bit. A little bit. Anyway, so that's what they do. So Biden would so if Trump, and even if Trump just continued to say, this would have never happened if our president, it would never happen, they respect me too much, the Iranians, they wouldn't do this, it would have never happened, if he just kept up that, you know, not even running as the peace candidate, but just being Donald Trump, ambiguous, never not being very specific about what he says, about what he means, he would still, he'd still do fine. The kids, here's the thing: the kids, they would just say, "Well, you know, Biden, Trump, it's the same thing. Let's just vote for Jill Stein." Or let's just not vote. And it would be a net plus for him. But what he's doing is, and okay, so I know about, was it 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago? Whenever it was that Donald Trump called into Fox News, into Fox and Friends, and Brian Kilmeade said, brought up Gaza, and he said, Israel's got to finish the problem. And then I was very critical of Andrew Anglin, who I support. I think Andrew Anglin's is still, and I've been saying this for years, he's the Will Rogers of our era. A lot of people don't know who Will Rogers is, but Will Rogers was actually an Indian. He grew up, his father was some sort of official in the Cherokee tribe. You know, he's mixed Indian. He's mixed white and Indian. And he was a rodeo cowboy back in the 20s. I guess the teens and the 20s, but he was also kind of like an everyman kind of philosopher, and people really appreciated him, and he was famous for saying he never met a man he didn't like. And Andrew Anglin's kind of like that, you know, except with, I mean, obviously doesn't like blacks that much, or the immigrants, or, you know, the gays or women, I mean Jews, I mean, it goes without saying, but otherwise, he really is, he's like the everyman philosopher. But I was critical of him because he wrote an article that got widely distributed, where he kept quoting Trump as saying, they've got to finish the job, and he didn't say finish the job, he said finish the problem. And then I felt somewhat vindicated a couple of weeks later when Trump gave this interview to the Israeli, some Israeli newspaper or media outlet, TV show, I can't remember exactly what it was, where he said, you know, Israel, I would have done exactly what you did, but you can't do that. You can't do that. You're losing support. You've lost support. You can't do this. I would have done the same thing, but you can't do this. And so I thought, okay, that's good. You know, again, he's like he's so unclear. I would have done the same thing, but you can't do this. But then, what was it? Then, more recently, he said any Jew would be crazy to vote for the Democrats. And he now seems to be positioning himself to be the pro-Israel candidate, to juxtapose himself as Biden. Like, Biden is, you know, obviously Biden's is just signed this $26 billion aid bill for Israel. Now, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I think $26 billion, $4 billion of it or so is, I think $4.5 billion, maybe $5 billion altogether, is for refugees, okay, which is supposedly going to be for Gaza, like to send food and whatnot to Gaza, but also it could be, the way it's worded, apparently, I haven't read it myself, but the way it's worded, apparently it could be used like to even bring Gazans to America. It could be used just for random immigrants coming to America, you know, refugee resettlement. So that was in there, but certainly like $20 billion plus to weapons to help Israel genocide the Palestinians. So it's not like Biden's got a bad position already. I mean, it's a horrible position. He's sending all this money over there, all the weapons. But he's also, though, he's getting Blinken, or, you know, Blinken, Sullivan, I don't know who's really in charge, to try to rein in Netanyahu. They're trying to rein him in to an extent. He told Netanyahu that he's not going to support an Israeli military strike on Iran. An offensive military strike. He's not going to support that. So trying to rein him in. So even though Biden's horrible, if Trump positions himself to be pro-Israel while Biden is actually being very pro-Israel, but is trying to position himself as being a little bit more reasonable in an effort to gain back some of the kids and the brown and black people. If Trump positions himself as being more pro-Israel, here's the thing. Then these people who, if this become this, the election winds up becoming a referendum on pro-Israel Trump and fake you know, neutrality or fake fairness Biden, if that's what it becomes, that sucks. Trump gets nothing out of that, and the Biden's base, which is hostile, the young people who are now hostile to Israel, now they instead of saying, well, Biden Trump is all the same, now they're saying, well, okay, Biden's awful, but Trump's even worse. And so this, I think there is some of this going on. I guess there's other stuff going on, like abortion and whatnot. I saw some, when I was pulling up my Mr. Ed video earlier today, when I told you about Mr. Ed driving the milk truck. When I'm pulling that up, there's some advertisement, political advertisement. Some woman's up there saying, Trump appointed 3 justices who overturned Roe versus Wade. He did this on purpose. We have, you know, make him pay. So they're going to be trying to play this up. And, you know, in Biden's State of the Union, that he...
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
He did this on purpose. We have, you know, make him pay. So they're going to be trying to play this up. And, you know, in Biden's State of the Union, that he when somebody's on crystal meth, what do you call it? Are they high? What's the word for it? I don't really know, but like, I think Biden might have been on meth or something when he gave that speech. I mean, he was high as a kite, and he was talking about, what was he talking about? He's talking about the in vitro fertilization, but the thing is, it looks like the Gaza stuff, I don't know how long this can really last, but it's already lasted six and a half months. So it could last, and when's the election? The election is 5.5 months from now, right? No. I guess the election, let's see, what April? Oh, about 6.5 months. Huh? Yeah, 6.5 months. So we're already, like, from the time the Gaza thing started, we're already halfway to the election. This could really dominate the news and dominate politics during this election year. And Trump would be retarded to run as the pro-Israel candidate because, like, as Biden's anti-Israel youth section of his base is turning against him, Trump is giving them every reason to say, well, as much as we don't like Biden, at least he's trying to rein things in or whatever. He's giving the young kids who are deserting Biden a reason to go back to him. It's not as if Trump's ever going to get these young kids, but for every kid that votes for Jill Stein or Cornel West or whatever, or just doesn't vote at all, stays home, that's half a vote for Trump, right? And then, of course, we were talking about this a lot with Jeremy. There's the whole Candace Owens, etc. factor. So, because Candace Owens is a big deal, but it's not just Candace Owens. A lot of people are coming out. Jake Shields, the martial artist, he's coming out. People I'm not that familiar with, but the young people are familiar with. People on the right, conservatives, pro-Trump people are coming out, and they're naming the Jews, talking about Jewish power. This is a huge thing. And Trump's base, it's going to be interesting to see the polls coming out late this week or next week that reflect the sense of betrayal that Trump's own base has over his support for Dick Johnson, the speaker. And I know his name is actually, his given name was Michael, but everybody looks at him and says, no, that's a dick. And so people are mad at Dick Johnson, but Trump supported him. Trump's the business about the money to Ukraine being a loan, but a loan that they only have to pay back if they win. They're not going to win. Everybody knows they're not going to win. And so Trump did this. This was retarded. And so it'll be interesting to see. The polls have closed up over the past 6 weeks or so, 4 to 6 weeks. Trump had, he was leading by, say, 2.5 to 3% in the head-to-head polls, and the average, the Real Clear Politics average of polls. Trump was had, you know, a 2.5 point lead. Given the electoral map, it looked like Trump was, he was ahead in all of the toss-up states, with the exception of Pennsylvania, where he was just kind of he was trailing slightly. Now, Pennsylvania just had a primary on Tuesday, and if you looked at it, Nikki Haley got 17% of the vote. The people who are voting for Nikki Haley aren't the people who are mad at Trump because he's pro-war, obviously. They might be, I don't know, but at any rate, that 2.5%, and then when you looked at the polls that included Jill Stein and RFK Jr. and Cornel West, the five-way race, Trump was ahead by like 4 points. And if you were to have an election and it reflected those votes, Trump would, if the votes reflected the poll, Trump would have won. He would win comfortably. But this is all closing up now, and it's just so, first of all, it's just disgusting to see Trump supporting the genocide, the Israeli genocide.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number two. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
It's just so, first of all, it's just disgusting to see Trump supporting the genocide, the Israeli genocide. And, you know, even amongst the boomers, it's just a bad look. A lot of people, the women, I mean, I've talked to older women, you know, boomers, people in their 60s and 70s, the women, they don't like this. They see the images, they see the babies, and they feel for them. You know, a lot of the men can be like tough guys, you know, they're ragheads. That's unfortunate, but it is what it is. But this is a big deal. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second and regroup. Okay, let's look at the polling numbers for a second, and then we're going to move on to other issues. But, okay, so if we're looking from April. Okay, there is a poll from INITIPP. Never heard of it, but it had Biden up by 3 points. Reuters, from April 3rd to April 7th, Biden up by 4 points. New York Times Siena poll, from the 7th to the 11th of this month, Trump up by 1 point. The Yahoo poll from the 11th to the 15th, a tie. The Daily Cause, which is some liberal thing, I'm sure, they have Trump up by 1 point. That's from the 13th to the 16th. NBC News from the 12th to the 16th, Trump up by 2 points. Marist, another polling agency, from the 16th to the 18th, Biden up by 3 points. The Emerson poll from the 16th to the 17th, Trump up by 3 points. M Consult, this is from the 19th to the 21st, Biden up by 1 point. And then Quinnipiac from the 18th to the 22nd. And it has the tie. So 18th to the 22nd, I guess this, when was the House votes? I can't remember. Was that over the weekend? So I don't think these are reflecting that. But I think, okay, so that's crazy. Those are head-to-head polls. Let's look a little bit at the five-way polls. I'm going to look at the five-way for a second. Okay, five-way. And so you've got the INITIPP, that poll from the beginning of the month. In the five-way, it's Trump and Biden are tied. Kennedy winds up with 11 points, West with 2, Jill Stein with 1. New York Times, it's got Trump up by 1. And Kennedy only is 2% in that. That's kind of odd. NBC News, Biden up by 2. But, you know, Kennedy is 13%, West 3%, Stein 2%, Marist, Biden up by 5, has him up by 5. So, I mean, again, he's just losing this. And so the spread now on the average for the two-way race was Trump up by 0.3 points. And now for the five-way race, where he'd been up by like over 4 points, now it's down to 0.9 points. So Trump is actually just kind of melting down at this point. And honestly, myself, I haven't come out. I hope I can vote for Trump. And I still appreciate a lot of the way Trump just shook things up. But you know, right now, I mean, if he's pro-genocide, I can't vote for that. Obviously. I can't. And if he's running to be more pro genocide than the Biden. Now the thing is, if the Biden thing is reelected, or if he gets to live in the White House after January 20th, all bets are off on the genocide, because the only reason they're trying to pull in the reins on Netanyahu is so it doesn't cause trouble with his base, because his base doesn't like this. So he's trying to rein it in. But after, you know, after the election, it's not going to matter. I don't know how long this can go on. I don't, my gut feeling is that this cannot go on. The thing is, is Netanyahu has said that he got to defeat Hamas. Hamas, he can't defeat Hamas. So my position on this still is that I think there's going to be an international peace conference that's dominated by Russia and China, with the support of Iran and the Arab League, and they're going to impose a settlement that's going to be very bad for Israel. That's still my prediction, and that Trump or Biden or whoever winds up representing the United States, they're going to flail around and make noise, but they're not going to carry the day. The day is that we are on the precipice of a new era that is going to be dominated by Russia and China, and that's a good thing. Okay, we are now going to start looking at Twitter. Okay, so hold on just a second. Okay, so we're going to look at Twitter. Here's the thing. I actually don't know how to use Twitter, so I'm just looking at stuff. I don't know how to use it, but Steve Saylor is a pretty serious person. He doesn't talk directly about Jews, but he's a pretty serious person. Let's see. And he tweets, he reposts, "After all, what have white men ever accomplished? Besides being privileged, of course." And, of course, he's saying that sarcastically. Dan Bongino. Why am I seeing Dan Bongino? I don't know. Let's see. To those out there pissing in each other's Cheerios, that's gross. Just months ahead of the most important election of in a lifetime. And you know who you all are. Wake the F up. And he spelled it out. Donald Trump is sitting in a dingy courtroom in New York City. And a group of Arizona Republicans were just added to... Oh, this is the Arizona Republican things. Were just added to the political hit list by another police state commie tyrant. So we're absolutely clear moving forward. I give exactly zero F's about anything other than saving the country right now. Anything else is a distraction. Well, the thing is, saving the country, like putting Donald Trump in the White House isn't saving the country if he's just going to be supporting genocide and being manipulated by the Jews. Saving the country, the way you save the country is by talking about Jewish power. Because the discussion of Jewish power is the destruction of Jewish power. Remember that. But this is a little bit interesting, the group of Arizona Republicans. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the electors. So the 2020 presidential election in Arizona was rigged. And, you know, there's the whole Maricopa County ballot machines and everything. I can't remember exactly what the issue in 2020 was. In 2022, the issue was that the machines, not that they were being rigged by China or Venezuela or whatever, but the issue was that the machines had they were designed to take 19-inch ballots, and the ballots that were printed by the Secretary of State, who was also the candidate for governor, were 20 inches wide, and so the ballots couldn't go into the ballot readers, into the machines, and it created massive lines on election day. Well, who was voting on election day? It was Republicans, because the Democrats had all mailed their ballots in. And so there were long lines on election day, and a lot of people didn't get to vote. 2020, I can't remember what shenanigans it was, but, you know, 2020. So, following the Slattery plan, there were a lot of... In the contested states, which was, in particular, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, and to a lesser extent, New Mexico. There's actually some stuff going on in New Mexico. Some or all of these states, you had a alternative. Well, the Republican electors. There were Republicans who were candidates for electors, and they, in one form or another, sent they voted. And they sent their votes to Congress to be counted. And so how many electoral votes does Arizona get nowadays? Does it get 10? I'm not sure. Used to get, back in the 70s, it got 7. Maybe it gets 10 or 12 now because its population's gone way up. And those people, the electors who voted and sent their votes to be counted, and of course this is important because on January 6th, if you had two different sets of electors, then the procedure would be to have the House and the Senate retire to their chambers and debate on it for 3 hours or for 2 hours and decide which slate of electors to count. there's nothing wrong about this. There's nothing unprecedented about it. There are plenty of precedents for two rival slates of electors being sent and then having a discussion and deciding which one to count. But these people are now being prosecuted in Arizona, so that is a big deal. But anyway, Dan Bonagino, if he's not talking about the Jews, he's worthless. All right, what else is on here? So Stephen Saylor, if I go up, Cynthia McKinney. Now, Cynthia McKinney is interesting because she does talk about Jewish power. She started, at least. And oh, here's something about Cynthia McKinney. She was a Green Party. She was a congresswoman for 10 years from Georgia, from Atlanta. And then she was the Green Party candidate for president in 2008. Nader was running as an independent. Cynthia McKinney was the Green nominee. And then, like, a year later in 2009, I think it was 2009 that this happened, there was, you know, one of these periodic Israeli orgasms of violence against Gaza. And Cynthia McKinney got on this Turkish boat, and she was trying to bring food and medicine to Gaza. And she got the boat got stopped by the Israelis and boarded violently. And I think they kill a couple of people when they were boarded the boat. I think they killed some Turks, and they threw Cynthia McKinney in an Israeli jail. So Cynthia McKinney, she's a black lady. I'm not going to call her a Congress bitch. Some of these, the squad people, I'll call them black and brown Congress bitches. Cynthia McKinney is very right on. I've met her a few times. And she's good. She's real. She's for real. And she's tweeted out something, the history of central banking and the enslavement of mankind. And I don't know, like, she's got a bunch of pictures on here. She's got a picture of, is it Caesar? And then some, like, weird French-looking guy. There's Hitler's on here, Napoleon's on here, Lincoln's on here, Gaddafi and Kennedy. Somebody else, there's a couple of faces, there's three faces I don't recognize. But she says, the history of central banking and the enslavement of mankind by Stephen Goodson. Okay, whatever. What else does she have here? Oh, she also tweeted out something. This is, I don't know how to use Twitter, but she's replying to somebody. She says, yeah, and I know many of the principles mentioned here. There is a lot more. I'm listening to this from Stu Peters. Difference. When I worked for you, I worked for you. No blackmail material here. And she's got, I guess it looks like a thumbnail. Maybe it's a link to a Stu Peters show. Now, the thing about Stu Peters, I will say I'm not all in with Stu Peters, but Stu Peters has, he's, like a year ago, was it a year ago? Maybe it was 2 years ago. Maybe it was a year and a half ago. I remember walking around with my dog crew, and I was listening to Stu Peters addressing Nick Fuentes's conference. You know, he has these conferences. He's got a conference coming up in June in Detroit. And Marjorie Taylor Greene had been at that conference. She spoke at that conference. And then Stu Peters got up and started bad-mouthing this Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, large Marge, she's dumb. There's plenty you can say about her. But she was a guest. She was and I thought it was a bad move. But more than that, you know, Stu Peters, then he had to address the real issue that nobody's willing to talk about, and that's child sex trafficking. It's like, what about the Jews? No, really. What about the Jews? What about Jewish power? So, but now he's talking about Jewish power. Now, the thing is, he's a newbie. And I listened to something, you know, so now he's going off about Jewish power. And on his show, every now and then he has, like, some pre-recorded little intro to his segments. And it's always talking about extreme accountability. Well, what's extreme accountability? It's executing your political enemies. And when you don't have political power, And your political enemies do have political power, and your political enemies control the police and control the courts and control the executioners. I think it's kind of stupid to talk about extreme accountability and how many people you're going to execute when you get power. That be as it may, he is starting to talk about Jews and starting to get educated. So I guess that's a good thing. Anyway.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
As it may, he is starting to talk about Jews and starting to get educated. So I guess that's a good thing. Anyway, Cynthia McKinney, I'm doing this Twitter thing. I don't know how to use it. Here's something from Vincent James. I'm going to reach out to Vincent James because I've met him a couple of times. I met him in person once, and I did a show with Mark Collett with him once. But Vincent James, probably the best moment from this Kanye interview. And Kanye is talking to this Jew from Ukraine named Lex Friedman, who was astroturfed into some sort of big popular podcast. Let's see what the best moment from the interview was. Okay, let's get it going. Ready?
All the assholes that you over in the music industry, artists over in the music industry, are individuals. They're not Jews.
They are Jewish.
It doesn't. They're all
okay.
The
okay. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. So Lex Friedman is Jewish and foul-mouthed. I wasn't expecting that. Like I said, I don't know how to use Twitter, and I'm too tired to actually edit that out. So you're going to hear it. Sorry, RBN. Don't get mad at me. It was that annoying Jew, Lex Friedman.
Okay. What's that?
I don't know how to use Twitter, and. All right, what else? Okay, Vincent James. Vincent James is a good guy. Scott Adams says, what is this? They believe whites are difficult to control and most likely to instigate a pogrom. They view white people as more likely to be conservative and the most likely to turn on them. They want a docile slave class society. The list goes on. And then there's some sort of link to, who's this guy, Brett Stevens from the New York Times? What does Brett Stevens have to say?
Have been so good for us as Jews. Because I am hard-pressed to think.
Let's go back a bit.
Values are the dominant.
Okay, let's go.
The second thing is, Jews, I think, have only really thrived and are only really safe in the world when liberal values are the dominant prevalent values. Trump administration represents a substantial and dangerous regression from those values. I think the comments, the attitude of this administration towards immigration, Mexican immigration, Latin American immigration, is a scandal. To be anti-immigrant strikes me as antithetical to the liberal values that have been so good for us as Jews. Because I am hard-pressed to think of illiberal orders in the past that haven't eventually turned on the Jews.
It's a kind of utopia.
All right,
just
so,
affected the whole world.
Sorry. So that's Brett Adams, or Brett Stevens from the New York Times. And so, yeah, we need immigration because immigration is good for the Jews. He said it. I didn't. He said it. Anyway, now we are up at the end. I know this is kind of a disjointed show. It happens sometimes. I'm doing my best. Tomorrow I'll have Filbert. I hope we make the connection. I think it's going to happen. We'll have Filbert and we'll have a good, fun, relaxing show. And so I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.